others. But we cannot come and say, hey, for the sake of brotherhood, let's get together, go together, make a party together with them, enjoy the parties with the goyim. No, the Nabi said, Al tismah Yisrael el gil ka'amim. And Tera said, don't enjoy yourself at the time that the goyim enjoying themselves. Don't participate with them in their time of joy and happiness, because you are different. You go into their joy and happiness, you are going to be black, and you will do everything wrong. You know that I once mentioned to you, and I will say it again. See, there was a Jew who was advisor to a king, very, very great advisor. The king loved him. But you know, among the Catholic people in Spain, the goyim envied whenever there was a great man, a great Jew, advisor of a king, that used to speak always to the king against him. Sure enough, these ministers, everyone speaking against the Jew. You believe in this Jew, you believe in the Jewish people. How can you put it in your advisor? They spoke. Never, the king didn't want to listen to them. Once, they spoke to him so much, test him, but try. Okay, what happened? The king had a very big party, his birthday. And he asked the Jew, please, I have a birthday party. I'd like you to honor me, to be in the party. And please do not refuse me. And the party, where was it? On Shabbat. Well, okay. The Jew was thinking, but the king insisted, I want you to honor me. Come, please. So this Jew said, what shall I do? I will go. He went to the party. He determined. He will not eat anything on kosher. He won't do anything else. Then he said, test him if he will do something for your honor. All those ministers and that. See, really respects you. Will he participate in your party or just come here and take no part? Then the king said, Achilak, please, I want you to do something. But here's all the porks, all the food. There is food. There is drinks, all wine in Neser, you know. And there is other things. What other things? He has also smoking, you know. And then he has also some girls entertaining the men, you know. I don't know. What they used to call some kind of a party in this community once, bachelor party, something like that. That's a terrible thing. And this is what they used to have. And the Lord said, listen, I don't want to impose on you to do everything, but please take one thing. Take one thing. You have something for drink or eat, or that you'll go to entertain yourself with those pretty girls. Smoke. He started thinking. The king insisted that he said, oh, king, tell him, what do I do? He knows that the king will get very mad if not. Who knows what will turn to be his enemy? He said, how can I smoke on Shabbat? Has v'shalom. Melacha hadul Shabbat. How can I go with arayot and go on that? Has v'shalom. How could I? Started thinking, and then he started thinking, Yain Nesach. It's not for sure. Yain Nesach, that's from Hachamim. It's not in the Torah. Didn't make it for Avodah Zarah yet. But Hachamim were worried, maybe. Okay, I'll take a lot of wine. He took a lot of wine. He gave him a couple glasses. He got dizzy. From the dizziness, he started eating. He started going on entertaining himself. He did everything. From that little thing that said, this is light, this is nothing. The light thing leads to everything else. This is what there is. A person thinks sometimes, I make this little avon, it's not too big. But he doesn't know that the little avon leads to the big avon. This is what certain my rabbi Be'ezrat Ya'alav Shalom explained something very good. There is a midrash said, Sha'alu l'nahash, mepene ma hu nimtza ben ha'gederot. Amar lahem hu paratz gedro shel olam, לפיכך הוא נמצא בין הגדרות. He asked the snake, why are you always, you don't walk in the middle of the sleep. You know where the snake goes? On the sides always. Inside between the walls. Why are you there in the pants? You don't go in the middle. I said, you want to teach me where to go? I know how to go. I broke the fence of the world. What does it mean? The rabbi said that this midrash doesn't have no meaning at all. But you see, in the mitzvot, there is two types of mitzvot. There is a mitzvot that the Torah told us. This you do, this you don't do. Mitzvot, that's it in the Torah. But there is mitzvot that the Torah said, Ushmartem et mishmarti. What's Ushmartem et mishmarti? You should protect my laws. I gave you laws. You must make sure that you make certain things to protect as protection, not to violate my laws. That means restrict yourself and make a fence for yourself. That means restrict yourself more in order not to make. For example, you learn, person has to pray Kiri Shema every night. Every night. Now when he has to read Shema, what is the time of Shema? According to the halacha of the Torah, the Kriyat Shema of the evening, you have time the whole night. Kem Hachamim said, no, till midnight. Why? They were afraid the person comes tired from work. He will go. He said, I have plenty of time. Let me relax a little on that. You'll eat a little, drink a little. And he falls asleep a little. When he falls asleep, he stays asleep the whole night. He said, I have plenty of time. He came telling him, listen, you don't have plenty of time. Till midnight, he's afraid. Maybe I'll be asleep till midnight. Then right away he doesn't go to sleep till we'll read Shema. That means they limited the time in order to protect the law of the Torah that he shouldn't violate. That's called protection. That's called like you put a fence, you put a wall surrounding the vineyard in order that people should not come and take the food. This is Ushmartem et Mishmarti. Make gader, make seyag. Seyag means a fence. Restrict yourself a little more than what the law is. That's what comes, you know, the Nahash. Our rabbi said, the Nahash is Yetzer Hara. Nahash of everybody. Yetzer Hara is called Nahash. Why? Just like the Nahash did with the Isha, Haba. He was the Yetzer Hara of Haba. And every Yetzer Hara is called Nahash. You know Yetzer Hara when he comes to a person, what does he tell him? Go be Rasha, right away, be Mahal Shabbat, eat pork, eat that. No, he doesn't come to that. No, he comes to him. Yes, probably there's nothing wrong with it. He says, okay. This Hachamim said. Hachamim added. Everything that comes, this is additional, doesn't matter. He starts with the little things. He tells him this is a little. So okay, you can do it. But he doesn't know that this was going to lead him to everything. That's why they say the Nahash. He starts with the gader, he starts with those laws that they come for protection. Why do you go to mislead a person with those light mitzvot? Why don't you go directly? Say, you want to teach me? If I go directly, they will never listen to me. The way I did with Haba. You know what he did with Haba? He said, what's the matter? Can't you eat from the trees out there? And the garden said, oh no, we can eat from every tree, except from one. That's Etzadah Tavah. I said, oh. She said, not only we can't eat, we can touch it. You can touch it. He pushed her. Touched it, nothing happened. See? God knows that if you will eat from it, you'll be equal to him. You'll have his power. You can create the world at the beginning. Yetzirah started working with her. And he started. He showed her, you see, you don't, if you will touch this tree, you'll die. Nothing happened to you. This is how he misled her. He started with things. That's called protection. Adam told his wife, don't touch it. While he was worrying, she will touch it, then she will eat from it. Because he added that, and he started with this. The purpose here, when he starts with the gader, with the protection, he can mislead them. This is how the Nahash comes. This is Ben Yisrael La'amim. They come, they tell you, what's the difference? We're all human beings. No. I separated him. in order that you will fulfill the mitzvot, you must keep yourself away. You can't. You have obligation to learn Torah, the goyim don't have. You have obligation to do mitzvot, that the goyim don't have. They have sheva mitzvot. Even the sheva mitzvot they don't fulfill, but they have only sheva mitzvot. But you have 630 mitzvot. You'll be with them, you'll be one of them. You can't go with them. You have a special mission in this world. The Ben Israel army. Uven Yom HaShevi'i, the Sheshet Emeh Maaseh. Between the seventh day and the rest of the days, the days of action. Days of Shabbat is not day of action, day of rest. You cannot. Your action should be in Torah, in mitzvot, but not in any kind of doing work. This is Ben HaShevi'i Emeh Maaseh. That's why they put it in Atar Honen, because Nitzedi'ah. To differentiate between one thing to another. Therefore, Atahana Tanu is being said in Atahana. Suppose a person made a mistake. He forgot Atahana Tanu. Started Atahana Adam Nanga Minashna Behanele Metakuma Bina Badat. Reached for that. Hey, remember, I didn't say Atahana Tanu. So what? Say Atahana Tanu again. And say Behanele Metakuma and then Bahatashim. But if you said Baruch Atah Hashem, you mentioned the word Hashem. If you didn't mention Hashem, Baruch Atah, you remember, you go back to Atahana Tanu and you go. But if you said the word of Hashem, you finish. Why? I didn't make Abdallah. I supposed to make Abdallah? Yes, but there's two Abdallah we make. One in Atahana and one, well, Abdallah on the cup of wine. Because if you do Atahana Tanu and Amidah, you fulfilled your duty from the Torah. Then when you make on the cup of wine, you're making mitzvah from Hakamim. But if you didn't say Atahana Tanu, you still can rely on the Abdallah, on the cup of wine, and you are doing the mitzvah over there. But now there is something different. When you say Atahana Tanu, then you can do melacha. You can light, start the match, and so on, because you said Atahana Tanu. But you can't eat only. Hakamim said, don't eat till you make Abdallah on top of wine. But all the rest of the melachot you can do. But if you didn't say Atahana Tanu, you can't do the Melachayat. You can. If I come say, I need the light, I want to say Baruch HaMarayash, then they tell you, say Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh Lahor, with Atshem Mokhon, and then you put the light on. Now once you say Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh Lahor, okay. But this is, you don't say Atahana Tanu because you rely on a cup of wine. But if you know for sure, you won't have a cup of wine. You don't have wine in the house. And you are praying, you miss Atahana Tanu. What do? Now, you are remembering after you said Baruch Atah Hashem. Should you go back or not? Really, you should go back because you're not going to say you don't have a cup of wine. Then you are not going to say Abdallah. If you know for sure that you will have a cup of wine tomorrow, then don't. Say the Abdallah tomorrow because there is time to say Abdallah till when? Till Tuesday. If you didn't say Abdallah and Motzei Shabbat, provided. If you make the Abdallah and Motzei Shabbat, even if you ate already by mistake, you still make Abdallah as long as the night is not over. Once the night is over, if you didn't eat yet, you can make Abdallah till Tuesday. But if you ate, finish, khalasna. You lost it after overnight. This is the difference when you say Abdallah. But if you say Atahana Tanu, it's good. You fulfill the mitzvah of the
Torah. Why would somebody want to fast until Tuesday and not say the Abdullah from
Sunday? Because he's anxious to do a mitzvah as well. I know that's very hard. But if a person is very, very anxious for mitzvot, he will do. Some people, they fast the whole week for mitzvah. I remember men that I saw in my own life that here is now this week, coming week, Saturday night, will start the Parasha Shemot. In Shemot, they were fasting from Saturday night till following Friday night. From the Havdalah till Kiddush. After Havdalah, they hear the Havdalah from somebody else, and they stay without food, without drink, without anything, till the whole week. Friday night. Not only they fast, they were going to work. And I remember that Rabbi who fasted all week, he used to sell young goods, you know, with measuring, he sells it, like a peddler he used to be, go from house to house selling them, the goods. And he came, he used to come Thursday night to my house, my father's house, because my father asked him, I want you to bless the children. He used to come to bless all of us in my house Thursday night. And then Friday night, you see the rabbis gathered into his house. Boom, all over, they come about 200 rabbis from Yerushalayim just to come to his house to get a blessing from him. Friday night, they hear his kiddush, they listen to his kiddush. Everyone goes, kisses his hand to get, rabbis they used to come to get beracha from him. I remember the last year of his life, he was 96 years old. And he started fasting from the time he was 30 years old. From 30 to 96. 66 years, every year, fasted Shemot. Why they fast in Shemot? They call this parashiyot Shovavim Tet. That is Shemot, Va'era, Bo, Beshadlah, Yitro, Mishpatim, Terumah, Tetzaveh. These are the parashiyot. Of course, the rabbi said today is not good to fast. It's danger. We don't have that strength. This rabbi was very powerful. It's a very strong man. And this parashiyot, they say the time that you make tikkun according to Kabbalah and certain things. And they were doing it. They say shovavim means a person who is naughty. Not a bit. They did something not so good in his life. Perhaps he said I made mistakes. He corrected them by this teshuvah that he makes. And he used to. I remember that my mother, Aleha Shalom, she said to me, go walk the rabbi home. I see him, he was weak this year. And he said, no, he doesn't have to. He had loading on his shoulders all the goods. So I'll go. No, my mother said, I told you, go with him. Then she said, I said to the rabbi, my mother ordered me to go, let me go with you. I said, okay. I walked with him halfway. After halfway, he sat on a rock in the middle of this street, and he told me, I will not walk till you go back now. I walked back, because he told me, I give it order. You did the mitzvah of your mother, tell him, from now on, I'll go by myself. Go back home. Like that. That year, it happened to me, he passed away a few weeks later. He was going to the shul, took his kolacha. He was going on the stairs, he fell. Fell, right away, they summoned the doctors. Everybody came, right away, took him to bed. What happened? The rabbi is sick, he fell. They all came. Then he saw them running, doctors coming, and said, what are you rushing so much? What are you running? There's time. 7 o'clock. They looked at him, it's 8 o'clock. He lost conscience. He doesn't know what he's talking. There's time, 7 o'clock. They waited, the robbers were coming to his house. I was that day, the whole day near his bedside. The robbers coming, and they're reading Torah, and they read everything, again and again, they read, and they read Shema many times. He wasn't conscious. The whole day long, till 7 o'clock in the evening. I remember we prayed when Hanau Vito, 7 o'clock in the evening, he opened his eyes, he smiled, his lips were moving, and all of a sudden, he blew it down. Goodbye. Halasna. And it was exactly 7 o'clock. They thought he doesn't know what he's talking. It was 7 o'clock, he passed away. And he was reading Shema for himself. And this is tzaddikim, great tzaddikim. And a person to reach this level, to be a great tzaddik. And we, Baruch Hashem, we saw these people. And I remember I even delivered a eulogy on him. I was a young man. And I delivered the eulogy on him, on this rabbi. And this is tzaddikim that you see and you know to appreciate what he did. He was a god for Rabbi Abdullah Somech. What was the rabbi of Rabbi Yosef Haim? You know, Rabbi Yosef Haim wrote this book. They call him Ben Ishai. Rabbi of Rabbi Yosef Haim. His rabbi was Rabbi Abdullah Somech. They call him Abdullah Somech, Abadiah Somech. Obadiah in Arabic, they say Abdullah. Rabbi Abdullah Samech, when he passed away, he was very, very great rabbi. The Jews decided in Iraq to bury him next to Kever Ezra HaSofer. There is a Kever, their grave, that they said, traditionally they know, is buried who? Ezra HaSofer over there.
Is it in Iraq?
Yes. And they decided to bury the rabbi Rabbi Abdullah Samech over there. And they went. They made the funeral and everything, and they buried him there. The Goyim heard. The Goyim also were, to them, the Kever Ezra HaSofer was a holy place for them. They knew that's a great man who's buried over there. But the Goyim objected. They put right away, they summoned the Jews to the court. In the meantime, they knew that the Goyim wanted to go by force to take the body out to open the grave. And the Jews put guards over there. Among the guards was this man over there. He told me the story himself. He was one among the guards over there. The whole night they sleep there, wait to see anybody if he will come to that. They were fighting with knives against each other. Arabs came, they wanted to bury. Number of Arabs were killed because of these guards. At the end, the government of Iraq took a year. After a year, they gave an order that the Jews must remove the body and bury them somewhere else. And they came right away from the city, and officers and all kind of medical force. They came with all kinds of chemical things that shouldn't, when the body comes out, who knows what would be, the smell, the odor, they don't want any sickness. And they came, they opened it, were digging the grave, opened the grave, they see the body fresh after a year, just like now was buried. You couldn't believe it. The man that was the officer in charge, he couldn't believe it. He dropped the whole thing, he threw it. He said, the heck with all their religion. He said, the Jewish religion must be the true religion. The Goy, Muslim, that said that. And he ran. He already did not believe in his religion. He wanted to believe in Jewish religion. He went to the rabbi. He asked him, rabbi, please, do me a favor. I want to be converted to be a Jew. The rabbi was afraid. Right away, what the Goyim would say over there. He told him, listen, I can't do it over here. If you listen to me, leave the country. Go to Israel, and ask the rabbis there to convert you. He did so. He went to Syria. From Syria he came to Israel. Israeli appealed to the rabbis, he wanted to be converted and that. And he was converted. He became one that was known, a very religious Jew. He lived in Sephard, and the man told me, this rabbi told me, you know, that man who lives in Sephard, this is his name, Abraham so-and-so. He is the one that was over there when I was there, when they opened the grave, and he was the Muslim that was in charge of bringing all these the medical things. And he believed in Joshua. Was intact, exactly the body as it was a year later. This is a tzaddikim with Rabbi Abdullah Samech.
They ended up taking the body out anyway, or they
didn't end up taking it? They took it away, yes. They put it in a different grave. They buried him in a different place. That was the order of the government. They couldn't help it. But they told you, this is Ben Israel La'amim, the difference between Israel and other people of the world. And that's what we say in the Havdalah. The Havdalah, again, I said the Halakha. Then if a person would say the Havdalah, Atahun Antanu, he fulfills his duty from the Torah. Then comes the Havdalah on the cup of wine to fulfill mitzvah from Hachamim. Ooh, I didn't even realize the time. I thought I'm still at the very beginning. Okay, that's almost that look.
They respected Ezra HaSofer as a Yehud, or they respected him as something
else? No, a Jew, but they knew this place is a holy place. They respect, like they do in Ma'arat HaMakhpilah, they respect Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. They respect, there is certain places, the Arabs, the Muslims, they respect, even though they belong to the Jewish people.
Even though they're burying somebody that Yehud next to them, it bothered them? They bothered them.
They didn't want. They said this is a holy place for them. They don't want another Jew over there. בחנניה מנחשה אומר רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא זכות לסייל לפי כך בעולם את הרמצות שנאמר אדוני חפש מעצתכו יגדיר תורה ויאדיר יד